Okay, so I hope you guys are liking this series on the church, because it is something that has always captivated my interest and fascination, because the church is such a weird, wonderful thing. Just thing that's out there. We've been talking, the last few weeks about how it came about and what it's all about. And last week, we talked about how unique, last week was part two, we talked about what church uniquely gives you, that no other group or institution or agency anywhere in the world, no hobby, no group of friends, no organized anything or spontaneous anything, puts it all together like the church for your good, to be part of a community, to develop your friendship with God and grow spiritually, and just do all these things to use you in a way that's going to grow you and benefit the world around you. The church is just this amazing place, this amazing gift that God has given you. Well, today we're going to add to that and talk about what you uniquely give church. Kind of turn things around a little bit, because as we're going to find out, church is all about what we bring into it. And that's why every local church is so unique and different. I asked that question about whether you're a fantasy football player, because I'm fascinated by the whole concept of fantasy leagues, because it's fun to be able to hand pick, according to your perspective, what you think is the best individual talent around, and put your own team together, because that's what fantasy is all about. It's like, man, I wish I could have that quarterback matched up with that receiver playing behind this front line. And I wish I had a defense like these guys, and I wish I could have this kicker, because I could never get exactly what I want, but this way I can. I can assemble all the best talent under one team, under one jersey that I get to call mine. And when you think about it, I mean, I know just from, ever since I was a kid, and even now, I think we're all kind of blown away and fascinated, captivated by those teams out there that could only accomplish greatness because of the way, everybody came together individually to make something bigger and better than they could be just on their own. So here's, some great teams. Kind of limited myself to our local teams, and so going back to the heyday of, well, what some would call, I would call the heyday of the Raiders anyway, when I was a kid. So it's fun that the Raiders are, looking better and better these days. Anybody recognize any old school Raiders? Come on, we got some. Yeah, it's Freddie Blinnikoff. He was always my favorite receiver. And so you got Cliff Branch on there. You got the 70s A's. You've got the 80s. And 90s, Niners, but then we got a, you could go on down the line. When this, when you put these guys together, great things happen, but none of them could do it on their own. And even their coaches, even their owners played a key role in their success. But it's not just sports, it's the stories we love. The stories that captivate us about how different personalities with different gifts and different talents and abilities and backgrounds and personalities come together, and from the superheroes to all the great stories. I'm a big Star Trek fan. It was Star Trek night at the Giants game the other night. Me and Zoe were out at AT&T, and so it was fun to kind of get caught up in all that. But I loved how the Star Trek crew, they were all so different from each other. But it was always because of somebody's idea or somebody's gift or ability that they made their way through all the adventures and perils that they would get into. You know, and the Lord of the Rings mythology is so much fun because without the wisdom and guidance of Gandalf, they would be lost. But without the innocence and endurance of the hobbits, they would never be able to get anywhere on their adventure. And then the protection and the strength, you know, of everybody, all those different individuals coming together. And so we love these stories. We even love it on the bad guys, you know, the Ocean's movies, you know, and how, you know, and so all the talent it takes to pull off all those great heists, you know, from the guys that, you know, have the disguises and the guys that are that have the computer knowledge, you know, and everybody comes together. But it needs leadership, and it needs different everybody playing their role and coming together, and it needs the right timing. And so all these things come together to make a beautiful team that can accomplish incredible things, but only when everybody is using their gifts and talents for the greater good. And that is what the church is all about. And I've been quoting this paragraph from Bill Hybels each week because it really is what inspired me to want to communicate and put this series together. And I love how he puts it. Nothing on earth has greater potential to change lives and carry out God's kingdom work in your community than your local church. Nothing can put it all together like neighborhood church and friends church right down the street, the Japanese Christian church right over there, the Unity Church, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, all the wonderful local congregations that you can look around and see are so unique and so beautiful and powerful. The local church, there's nothing like the local church when it's working right. And that's the key. That's the challenge. But its beauty is indescribable. Power is breathtaking. Its potential is unlimited. No other organization on earth is like the church. Nothing even comes close. And I really believe that. And I've seen glimpses of it. And it just makes you want to continue to pour yourself into becoming what God dreams about and about putting together an incredible group of people that can use their talents and gifts in a way to accomplish this plan for the world that He's put together. This is you guys. You're God's dream team. And this is how the church is described all throughout the New Testament. Here the Apostle Paul is talking about it. Romans 12. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We're all connected. We have different gifts according to the grace given each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And it's just a little snapshot. And all through the New Testament, when it mentions gifts, it's always these little partial lists. And none of, I mean, there's even more gifts than that. But there's something just in this one little passage that tells us so much about how the church is put together. Okay, this is just a random thing you're going to have to put up with. But because I want to talk about what is just given in the church. So if you're figuring out the trivia right now, talk to me over brownies if you figured out this one. And so, but I want to talk about three givens. Should I go back to that a little bit? Anybody get my three givens right here? And so, all right. So because there's three givens in that paragraph that talk about these are the givens in the church. This is what you can count on. These are the assumptions that are true. And so, okay. So given number one. Okay, that got you thinking a little bit. And so, did anybody get all three out of three? Rams fans. Was he on the Rams? Well, no, he's floating around. Chris Gibbon. It was tough coming up with the third Gibbon. Anyway, besides Robin and Raylan. Yes. Okay, so, okay, back to business. Gibbon number one about the church. Everyone in the church family has God-given gifts. And so it's something that we can just rely on. It's not a guess. It's not a maybe. It's not an if. You can count on that. Everyone here has God-given gifts. God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. The Apostle Peter cries out to the early church. Everyone in the church family has God-given gifts. And it's the first assumption that you can count on. And it's so much fun to be able to, you know, as new people and new families, you know, come into the church, to be able to see, you know, how, you know, God is just adding here and there. I mean, look, 2 years later, we've gone 2 years, you know, with, you know, just, you know, one person up here leading music, you know. And so now God's doing something new and adding more gifts and talent as we've been growing. And just what a blessing that is. And I mean, if you go back to 2 Septembers ago when we first started, there was a small handful of people doing just about everything here around the church. And that's gotten less and less. There's still this wonderful core group that's probably taking on too much. And we all need to learn how to spread out the responsibility a little more. But slowly over time, that's been building and changing. And it's so, so awesome to see, because everybody's got something to give. Given number two, everyone's gifts are necessary. And it's not like anybody, you know, okay, well, I've got this gift, you know, but it's really not needed. And it's absolutely needed. The church runs on your gifting. Our bodies have many parts. Paul's talking again in 1 Corinthians. And God has put each part just where He wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. And the pastor can't say to the congregation, I don't need you. The pastor desperately needs the congregation. You know, the music team can't say they don't need the hospitality team. The children's ministry can't say they don't need the youth ministry. I mean, we're all connected. We're all part of one body that's functioning. And we need that prayer team praying for us constantly. The work that especially Ada puts into our finance and administration. I mean, where would we be without that? And so many working parts are going, and it's all needed. Here's just a little graphic of all, and there's more. I just couldn't fit them all on a screen, but you know, all the gifts mentioned throughout the Bible. So here's what I want you to do. I've never met anybody with just one gift. I mean, technically, I mean, I know everybody's got at least one. I've never met anybody with just one gift, and it's kind of a, I don't want to say I'm obsessed with it, but I'm strongly fascinated with how God individually gifts everybody in a church family, and just how beautifully everything balances out and comes together. So I'm really into it. I really, you know, and I've never in many, many years met anybody with just one gift. Usually it's about 3 to 5 is what it kind of comes out to. So I want you to spend a minute here just kind of looking at that screen and seeing how well you know your gifting. Because one of the more fun things for me is to help you find your gifting and put it to work. But what's up there? From prayer to administration to being a craftsman. You know, just, do you know how our craftsmen are builders and those, you know, gifted with fixing things has helped our church over the last couple of years? I mean, I could rattle off probably close to $1,000 that we've avoided because because of the gifts in that church, because of things just breaking down or around here, whether we did it or somebody else outside of our congregation that uses the building did it, and just how your fix-it gifts have, your craftsmanship has really saved us on many occasions from having to pick up a phone call and write a check to somebody. That's just a simple little thing. And just, I mean, our hospitality. Every Sunday you can come in here and count on it. But also, those who provide meals to those in our church family that have a loved one in the hospital and they've got extra responsibilities or a baby just arrived. Our hospitality team, it's such a blessing. Those with encouragement. Again, those with music gifts and helping gifts, all the behind-the-scenes helping that goes on before and after on a Sunday and at different events. What would we do without all you guys? Those gifted with leadership. Those who, you know, I love the gift of leadership. It's those of you who just aren't daunted by what many of us would just feel is, you know, an overwhelming set of responsibilities and demands to put things together. But you're able to see clearly into the future and have a vision for how something can come about and then work backwards to arrive at that vision. Those with faith, where the rest of us are kind of, it's like, boy, I don't see how this could come about. But you keep us fired up to keep moving forward and trusting God. Who's not up to three? You don't have to raise your hand, I don't want to embarrass you. But if you're not up to three, okay, then find me during brownies later, okay? Or we got a cup of coffee in our future. I bet you everybody's probably five, six, seven. What are those top three? Okay, good, good. Because that's the key. Once we've figured out our gifts, then it's just time to put it to use. But you might not know what your gifts are because maybe you haven't been provided the opportunity or challenged or asked to put them to work. And one of the best ways to find that out is just through some trial and error. Okay, this is the toughest part of my week. All right? This is a piece of cake right now. I get to, like, you know, share God's word with some of, you know, my church family. Yeah, I mean, people I love and trust. Okay, these guys beat me up every single week, twice a week, Thursday and Saturdays, and just these little second grade girls, man, they're just brutal on me. Okay, but so I've got a love-hate relationship with coaching these little ones. They are so tough to keep focused and entertained and pressing forward, but they're so cute and so much fun. So the Firecrackers, that's our team this year. And so, okay, so a couple of these girls, a couple of them have played for a few years, like Evie, like she's coming alive. Let me tell you, that kid is starting to discover her gifting and speed and strength, and it's been really fun to watch. Some of these, a couple of these kids never even put cleats on or touched a soccer ball. And so, and then, you know, and then the rest of them are all kind of in between. And so we're a couple games in now. And so from that first practice where we're just meeting each other and coming up with a name, you know, that's fun. We've got orange uniforms, so Firecrackers seem like a fun thing, right? And so, but now you're starting to see who is kind of defensive-minded, who's offensive-minded, who's got some speed, who's got some endurance, who's got some ball skills, and everybody's totally different. Of these six little girls, they're all so different. But it's so cute and wonderful to see how, boy, there's a couple girls that are just so hungry to score. There's just that God provides the soccer player an insatiable desire to score goals, and that's called the strength. You know, they're just drawn to the goal. But then not everybody's like that. And you know, there's a couple of girls that just love kind of hanging back, seeing the whole field in front of them, and they're defensive minded. They love protecting the goal. They've just got this protective heart. I mean, it's funny. And there's some girls that just, they don't care anything about that. It's like they just want to put the ball in the other goal. But then some want to protect theirs. And it's just so interesting. It was this metaphor that just really came alive, this, you know, living picture in front of my eyes, yesterday morning watching these girls again start to figure themselves out on the soccer field. And for me, I'm just kind of moving them around. I'm just kind of experimenting. Okay, how are they going to react in this position when I put them up here? Are they going to take to that? Or are they going to feel more comfortable somewhere else, you know? And it's a work in progress, and it's going to be fun to continue to see that develop over the season. But God does that in our church. He gives us all different personalities and different strengths and weaknesses to come alongside of each other and to take care of each other and to help us press forward and accomplish great things. But sometimes we don't know until we just get out there on that field. We lace them up and we start running around and kicking that ball around to see, okay, where's our best fit? You might have no idea that you're awesome with little kids. Okay, let's talk about Tim Heitzen over there. So Liza recruits Tim over there, you know, and he's just like, he's so amazing with those little ones. Would anybody guess? I mean, he's like our rock here. He's always like, you know, the first person here getting stuff set up and just like, you know, always. But who would know that he's just this, this great children's leader, you know? But he gave it a shot, and he's just loving it, and he's just like already impacting those little lives. So great. And so you never know what you're made of until you try. Now you might get in there, you know, say something like kids or setup or music or hospital, and you just go, geez, I thought that sounded good, but then I started to do it. Yeah, just, can I try something else? And that is okay. Yes, that's a big yes. And it's a, you know, it's a big thumbs up way to give it a shot. And it's like, I love singing. You know, it's like I sing all the time. But being up in front of people just freaked me out. I'm not ready for that. Okay, you don't have to do that. You know, it's like there's plenty of other things going on around. Now, I'm not saying these are all just examples I'm making up out of thin air. You need to know that. So the Tim one's true. But you need to step out and, again, lace them up and see what God's going to do and start to see, okay, how has He shaped you? How has He put you together? Because your gifts are needed and necessary. They have to happen. And in fact, and this is given number three, without the involvement of your gifting, the church is incomplete. Okay, the incomplete was like the worst thing that could ever happen. I mean, there's just no closure. It's just all this mystery. Remember in school? I mean, that's like, that's worse than a failing grade, because it's just the incomplete. It's like, okay, at least I knew where I stood, but now I got to do more work. I got to, like, what do I got to do? Come back over the summer. Got to work over spring break. You know, it's like, I got to take that class over. Ugh. I mean, it's like the worst thing to have an incomplete. But that's what we are as a church when we're missing the involvement of everyone. We need everybody using their gifts. And Jesus tells a pretty kind of a scary story. We didn't, in our parable series, we didn't get to this one. A little catch-up work to do here. But he tells the story of a man going on a journey. And this is a very wealthy man who had a lot of gifts to spread around. It's obviously a metaphor for God's wealth and variety of gifts that He gives to all of us. And he called together three of his servants and entrusted them to all of his property that he gave to them and invested in them. To one he gave 5 talents. To another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability, and then he went away. And he let them just work on their own to see how they would invest these talents. And you need to know about this word talent. This is pretty interesting. Back then it was just a unit of measure. The word talent, I mean, and they would say it just like we say talent today. It's the exact same word. It was a unit of weight, about 80 pounds, but it also became a unit of describing currency for money, and it was the value of the weight of silver. So 80 talents of silver was how much, you know, that was a lot of money. In fact, 1 talent equaled about 20 years of income from an ordinary person. So this is a lot that this man is distributing, a lot of wealth that he's giving to these servants to invest in them, for them to put to work while he's gone on this long journey. But here's what's so interesting about this word talent. Because of this parable in the Gospel of Matthew that Jesus told, because of that obvious connection that this wealth represented not monetary wealth, but the talent that God gives each of us in our personalities, the skills, the abilities, the passions, the desires to hone different skills and put those to use. That word went from a money word to the way we use the word today. That's where we get our English word, is from this parable of Jesus. It was such a strong indication of, you know, that what God is after, that it became, you know, that he's given us these talents, these abilities and skills in our personalities, that word took on that meaning. So back to the parable. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more, doubled the investment. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. And Jesus talks about how when that wealthy man came back from his journey, how he was just elated with the first two servants and how well they did in putting to work the investment that was made in them. But he comes down hard on the 3rd servant who sat around. He goes, look, you could have just even just put it in the bank and just got whatever minimal interest would have been better than nothing. How could you not use all that I have given you? I put a lot into you. That didn't come from just no place. That was a lot of resources and wealth that went into you, and you just sat on it? Why would you do that? That's like such a waste. And then the message of this parable is God has just invested so much into each of us to not do anything with it, to not put it to use even once in a while. It's just like this incredible, what? How can you miss that? You're needed. You're so valuable. Put it to work. You're so filled up with talent. You're like a walking treasure chest that needs to be spent and invested in the world around you. And it's going to bring back incredible returns if you would just let it. The greatest, most powerful group, organization, agency, whatever you want to call the church in the world is incomplete and sorely lacking when even one person is not invested with their gifts and talents in it. That's how important, how crucial, how vital each of you are to the church. It's a given that everyone's got these spiritual gifts, these amazing God-given gifts just infused into your DNA that you use each and every day somewhere out there in the world. But they're really, the ultimate purpose for those gifts wasn't to make you money, wasn't to bring even you joy and reward. It was to bless the kingdom of God that's trying to bless a hurting and needy world around you. Your gifts are necessary. They're not optional. They're not like, oh yeah, that would be great. No, we need them. The church absolutely needs them. And without your involvement, we're never going to be who we were designed and envisioned to be. We absolutely will remain incomplete, an incomplete dream in God's eyes. I mean, what if Bill Walsh had never wandered onto that campus and talked, you know, and talked to, you know, and found even Dwight Clark at Clemson, you know, to be able to catch for Joe. I mean, what if, you know, what if they never got Jerry from Mississippi? What, you know, I mean, one of those missing pieces, and we never have that Niners dynasty. One person left out changes everything. We need everybody involved. God created you to be a vital part of His church and this mission in the world. Well, as our music team comes back up, I just want to say a little prayer for all of us and everybody that's not here today. As we look forward to celebrating 2 years as a church, we would just see some incredible new things happen in the life of our church because more and more people are stepping up and stepping in to allowing their gifts to be used for God's purposes. So, Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that we matter so much. It's almost daunting that we can matter so much. But Lord, you believe in us. Your faith in us is just unshakable. So Lord, I just pray that we would all be inspired to realize just how well gifted and well resourced each of us are. But then be motivated with courage and faith to step out and use all that you've given us, to use all that talent to bring to you, to contribute to what you're doing here in our local congregation here at Neighborhood Church, that we would just all come together and be and realize that dream team that you want us to be in your eyes. And so, Lord, we just give ourselves to you. And give back from all that you've given to us. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, when you're ready, come to the Lord's table as we worship. And be reminded of His love and His goodness for you. And if there's anybody that would like to pray, I would love to pray with you in the back of the room. As Keith invited you earlier, just invite you to stand. If you would like to stand as we worship together.